hugs to one another. Greet somebody this morning. It is good to say hi and to hug and laugh in the presence of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. God's presence is good. God's presence gives power. All right. Well, good morning. Good morning. Come on. Come on. Good morning. There we go. All right. I'm going to make you guys a little bit louder today. All right. Come on. How many times do we hear the kids like screaming and yelling, jumping around downstairs, and we're up? Good morning. One more time. Good morning. Good morning. I like it. All right. All right. So I'm going to start with a couple jokes because I love jokes. Oh boy. No, they're good jokes. Mrs. Smart was fumbling in her purse for her offering when a large television remote fell out and clattered into the aisle. Ooh. The curious usher bent over to retrieve it for her and whispered, "Do you always carry your TV remote to church?" "No," she replied. Oh, here's the kicker. "But my husband refused to come with me this morning, and I figured this was the most evil thing I could do to him legally." A little girl from Alabama went to church for the first time ever when she was visiting her grandparents in Michigan. When the pastor announced it was time for the Lord's Supper, she was excited and hungry. The congregation filed up to the altar rail, and the child watched in confusion as her grandparents received a wafer and a small plastic cup of wine. She could hardly wait to get back to the pew to tell her grandma that Jesus was not from Alabama. "How do you know that, dear?" said Grandma. "Because that was the poorest meal I've ever seen," she said. "Mama would have at least given everybody some cornbread and sweet tea." Little Philip was walking, this is the last one. Little Philip was walking home in the rain with his mommy following Sunday worship. It finally stopped raining as they rounded the corner, where to their surprise and delight appeared a vivid double rainbow in the sky. "Doesn't it look like an artist painted this rainbow?" his mom exclaimed. "I bet God painted this just for you." "Yes," replied Philip, "God did it, and he did it left-handed." Confused, his mom asked, "What makes you say God did this with his left hand?" "Well," said Philip, "we learned in Sunday school that Jesus sits on the right hand of God." It's good. It's good. Oh, no, I do have one more. Okay. Have you heard about the first baseball game in the Bible? In the beginning, Eve stole first. Adam stole second. Cain struck out Abel. The giants and the angels were rained out. So, now that we're lighthearted and giggly. So this morning I want to talk, I guess my message would be called Serve the House. So what house are we in? We're in the house of God. We're a family that resides in the house of God. Matthew 20:28 says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So being a servant takes effort, takes a heart, especially in this house. A person who performs duties for others, especially a person employed in a house on domestic duties or as a personal attendant. So that's what the definition of a servant is. What does it mean to serve the house? So we're all members of a body. We're all a community of believers. But what does it truly mean to serve the house? Now, the house can be our church. The house can be our families. The house can be the kingdom of God. It's all intertwined because we live in his kingdom. Matthew 20:28 says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." John 15:5 says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So we are intertwined with the Father. Serve the house. Let me hear you say, serve the house. Serve the house. Thank you. So Jesus came as a servant rather than a king in the flesh. Isn't it interesting that he came and instead of him riding on a white horse and proclaiming himself the king, he decided to come as a baby in a manger, as somebody humble, as lowly as a servant. when he could have came as that triumphant king, which we know he is to be. Now, I believe we will see him as that one day, but in order for him to connect with the people of that time, he had to come as a humble servant. Our biggest hurdle to servanthood is selfish thinking. We have to be keen to identifying needs. What are some of those needs as servants? Go ahead and shout out some of those needs in our community. What are the needs that we identify in our community here? Salvation, being hungry, feeding the hungry, okay? Any other needs that we can identify outside the house and inside the house? Clothing those who need clothes. Living water, the gospel. Pretty sure that Jesus mentioned a whole lot of those things in Scripture, didn't he? And being that we are little Christians, we can train our mind to remember those things that we've read so that when it comes time to act, we're able to act on those. Paw packs, correct, is another need that we see in our community. The soup kitchen, which many of you guys are going to be involved in tonight, which our youth group also is involved in and will be there. And one of the best things I think that we can do as a church body and believers is to show an example to those that are younger, even the kids of this body, that being a servant is top-notch, right up there. That when they serve, that God is going to meet them and open up opportunities. Pastor Kurt has a couple snippets that he's going to share about his time in Harrisburg, because it's important that we kind of get an understanding of what it's like to be out on the outside, serving the community, and bringing God's house outside of our house.
Amen. Yeah, the Lord's just been stirring in my spirit for a while now, going back to last year, to go out and to reach those that are in desperate need of Christ. And so we've started to put together some teams. We've gone out a couple of times on treasure hunts. You guys know what a treasure hunt is, remember? We've talked about treasure hunts before. And so what we do is we get together ahead of time, and the group prays and asks God for clues. What we're asking for is words of knowledge for the treasure that he wants us to interact with. And the treasure is the people that we'll encounter as we go out into the community. And so we did one in September on Restaurant Row on 2nd Street in downtown Harrisburg. And Franklin, there he is, he came with us, and we had a group of about a half a dozen that came. And there were a lot more that were interested, and you know how it is working out schedules. Sometimes it doesn't always work. But that first one was really powerful. We had many awesome encounters. And here's the deal. When you go out on Restaurant Row in downtown Harrisburg, you're not within the four walls of the church, right? And so you're going to see stuff that you wouldn't see within the four walls of the church, right? Case in point, we're talking to people that have had a few, right? And so they're talking to us, and they're kind of swaying in the breeze, right? I mean, Franklin really got an education that night. He heard some words that he hadn't heard before, and he saw some things that he hadn't seen before. And we're talking to a homeless guy, 22 years old, from Michigan, and homeless, lived under a bridge, I think, under Mulberry Street Bridge, and he's rolling a joint as we're sharing the gospel with him. Franklin got an education that night, but here's the thing. Didn't Jesus say he came to seek and save, right? What? That which was lost. Listen, that homeless guy needed to hear the good news. And if we're too whatever to think that we can't share God's love with somebody who's rolling a joint, I don't think he's got the problem. I think we got the problem, right? Mm-hmm. We got the problem. If we're too whatever, we got to get over some stuff, you know? So anyway, we're sharing, and we had a guy, Ben, my friend Ben, from Movement Outreach down here in at the community center. He begins to prophesy over this homeless guy. He had given the joint to a friend of his by then, so that was out of the picture, so we didn't have to deal with that. But anyway, he begins to prophesy over this guy, and he says, I just see you as a dreamer. I believe God has put dreams inside of you. And with every word, the guy's eyes were getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Then he started saying, I believe that God wants to use your musical abilities for his kingdom. Do you like music? Yeah, I like music. I got this website and I got all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And so here's the thing. The guy is Muslim, he shares with us. And we ask, can we pray for you? He said, yeah, I'd love for you to pray for me. Now, in case you didn't know, Muslims don't have the habit of asking Christians to pray for them, okay? You with me? That doesn't happen. And here this young Muslim man, because we had shared God's love with him, because we had moved in power in the prophetic, he was very open to receiving what God had for him. And we prayed for him, and it was just, it was dynamite. There were two people that got saved that night. Richie Lewis led two people to the Lord. There were those that received a measure of healing. We had a second one recently here a few weeks ago in Carlisle. We had a group from Mount Pleasant Church of God. My buddy, Pastor Zach Wilt, is the senior pastor there. I preached there about a month ago. And they had a group of five that came to be a part of it. And we were in Carlisle. And so they were awesome. They had never been out on a treasure hunt before, but they're in the middle of Bonton, and they're talking to a lady who's shopping there. They strike up a conversation with her, and they say, is there anything we can pray for you about? The lady says, yes, my daughter just had a drug overdose recently. Would you pray for me? Now, come on. We're reaching the community, right? We're here to serve people, like what Pastor Adam's talking about. And this lady, in the middle of Bonton, says, would you pray for me? And so the group begins to pray, and she's like, wait. When I pray, we hold hands. So she had the group hold hands in the middle of Bonton. Now we can pray. And they prayed for her. They prayed for her daughter. They met another guy, I think at Dunham's, who had had a back injury recently. They got to pray for him. Listen, we're here to serve, right? And I remember, I think it was Pastor Steve, years ago, we were talking about this idea one time. And he said, Kurt, if you don't remember, you'll soon be reminded that you're a servant when people treat you like one. Right? I remember that. And sometimes, you know, being a servant, you don't feel like you're at the top of the totem pole. You don't feel like you're the big man on campus, right? And yet, we're called to love people and to serve people. And I'm privileged that I can serve in this house as well. I could literally go around the room and just person by person just say, oh gosh, I just love this about you, Jack, even though you're a Penn State fan. And I'd say, you know, man, I love this about you. And Frank, I love this about you. We have such an awesome congregation here, an awesome body. We have an awesome family here. We were just talking recently at the men's Bible study. We're going through a book called Culture of Honor. And one of the things that I believe is evident here, and that we're continuing to grow in, is this idea of whenever we're in a culture of honor, we are able to have disagreements about certain things, and that doesn't mean that we stop or cease honoring each other. We're able to continue to be in relationship, and because, you know, Trish feels one way about something and I feel differently, that doesn't give me permission to dishonor her. I continue to honor her. I continue to love her, and we continue to be in community together. And I believe that that is something that is evident in this house, and something that we continue to grow in. Amen. So I could probably preach another half hour, but how about if I just cut it off here, okay? Is that good, Adam? Are we okay?
That's fine. When I was praying, you came to mind and your experiences, so, you know, God obviously wanted you to share, so thank you very much. Thank you. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Are we walking in those good works? Are we walking in those good works? Guess how many billion people are in the world right now? Take a guess. 6. 7's close. 7.6 billion as of this month. 7.6 billion people. How many of those people are dying? How many people are poor, destitute, needing Jesus? Quite a few. Galatians 5:13 says, but through love be servants of one another. We can serve one another. John 12:25 and 26 says, The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Can we identify with the Father this morning? Are we able to identify with as being a servant because of how we want to obey Him, how we want to read His Word, how we want to be more like Him? That's what we strive to be. Amen? Amen. Serve the house. Let me hear you. Serve the house. So how do we follow Him? By obeying His Word, being transformed by the Holy Spirit, serving His house. So I'm going to ask a question because I probably don't know the answer. I've been here 9 years, I think. We moved here 9 years. But there's several in this house that have been here quite longer than myself. And I'm not talking about your age. Come on. I'm talking about you as a servant in this house. So I'm going to ask those who have served in the house or currently serve in the house, go ahead and stand up. So if you're in a part of ministry at this house, please stand up. If you've ever helped in any capacity, it could be downstairs with the kids ministry. It could be providing food on one of our potluck, being a part of an outreach. So just go ahead and take a look around at how many people serve in this house. So when we look around and see how many people serve, it's quite a lot, isn't it? It's everybody. So it's not just Pastor Steve, Pastor Kurt. It's the whole body serving together as one. Amen? Amen. You may sit. So who's been serving the longest? I kind of want to point them out. Pastor Steve, do you know? 28 years?
Marlon, how long have you been here?
Greedy. So we have some shining examples of servants in this house, don't we? Thank you, guys. Servanthood, being a servant, also comes with sacrifice. Sometimes when you sacrifice something precious, you're not really losing it. You're just passing it on to someone else. It's hard to decide what you want your life to be about. What's hard is figuring out what you're willing to give up in order to do the things you really care about. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. As soon as sacrifice becomes a duty and necessity to mankind, there's no limit to the horizon which can open before us. One half of knowing what you want is knowing what you must give up before you get it. So in order for us to serve, we have to give up our time. Amen? We have to give up some of the things that we want to do in order to serve God and to put Him before those needs. What a great example of that being Veterans Day. One of the top examples of sacrifice is honoring our veterans for whom served. We have several veterans in the house. Both my brothers are veterans. My grandfather was a veteran. Those who gave their years of their lives to help protect us and serve, there it is again, serve our country without question. I have a quick YouTube clip, and it's just identifying those who have served before and identifying those currently serving. Pretty good, isn't it? Just identifying one generation to another, right? So I have a... So I was getting my sons ready for church this morning. No easy feat, I'll tell you. If you have more than three, or sometimes even less, it's a challenge. But yes, it's like herding, grazing animals sometimes. Get done eating. You got to get your clothes on. Church is starting. But anyway, so in the midst of a little bit of the chaos this morning, I wanted to ask my son a question. Because sometimes when you ask kids and you think about generations and how opinions of different generations are different, you know, from somebody who's older to somebody who's younger. And so I have this on a video clip. You're just going to have to listen because I just have it on my phone. But so I asked him what it means to serve, because it's interesting. A child's aspect of serving is very basic compared to our aspect. So we think of serving like, well, I have to be involved in a particular ministry in order to serve. or I have to identify what I'm going towards in order to serve. We kind of put it into different steps. Well, I got to start step A, step B, step C. But to a child, they just see that quick need and know how to address it. So let me see if I can get him to.
What is it? What does serve mean?
If someone wants something and you have all of them, you can just give to somebody.
Oh. Who needs it. So if you have something and they need it, you just give it to them?
Yeah.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. So just no details, no overanalyzing anything. It's just the basic need of identifying the need and giving it to them, according to Lucas. But shouldn't that be kind of the same steps in our lives as Christians? Because God says that He wants us to be little Christians. He wants us to live and walk the way He lived and walked. And His ministry was about people. His ministry was about miracles. His ministry was about not Himself, but those around Him. Just look at all the different miracles that happened in the Bible, all the different stories of His ministry. It was all about the outward and not the inward. So there's a article by Victory by Grace Monthly Magazine, and talks about a toddler, and it says, I was sitting in the front room enjoying a rare moment of silliness. My toddlers were playing in the den as I stole a few minutes to recharge before starting dinner. Peace in a house with two toddlers was an uncommon treasure, and I intended to enjoy the eye of the storm as it passed. Then from the den I heard the slap of one pudgy hand against another. Oh boy. My son snapped. No, sissy, that's mine! His words were followed by the thud of his sister hitting the floor. That lull didn't last long, I thought, pulling myself out of a favorite outstuffed chair. My daughter's whimpers broke into a bone-chilling wail as I headed to the den. Joshua scurried past clutching my favorite toy, still declaring, mine, mine, mine. Life hadn't been the same for our firstborn since Beth's birth. Josh had taken her arrival as an intrusion of his space. The problem was that Josh considered every inch of the house as his personal space. As the only child for the first 2 years of life, Josh was not sure about sharing center stage with his sister. As a parent and a child from a large family, I can understand the perspective. His unchallenged access to his mom and his desires were met without question or intrusion, as his mom and I enjoyed our firstborn. But as soon as his sister arrived, the territorial wars began. I wondered what triggered the change in Josh's behavior. What caused the change from compliant to competitive? Why now, when his mom and I hoped for his cooperation, did he choose to become the tyrant, prowling our home as if he were a jungle predator protecting his territory? As I rocked Beth back to sleep, I discovered a few lessons that apply not only to toddlers, but to my life as an adult. At the heart of the issue is our own heart, and whether or not we have learned the gentle lessons of servitude and servanthood. John 13:1-17. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to this this section here. Actually, I'm sorry. I jumped to the wrong verse. Philippians 2. That's in the New Testament. Philippians 2:1-11. And this is a great section of scripture that encourages us to serve and gives us the outlook of what it looks like to be a servant in the house of God. Again, let's say it together. Serve the house. Philippians 2:1-11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. So being on the same wavelength. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you in the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a what? Servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. See, when we're a servant, we start to put some of those things aside that take up our time. And we look at what Jesus did, and we say that we want to bring his glory to this kingdom. Amen? So it's really identifying how we're going to get there and do that. So what are some of the small things we can do? Some of the small things is spending time with those who may not know the Lord, who may be hurt, who may be out of relationship with others. Creating meals. Have you ever heard the way to a man's heart is food? Is it food? Is that the... Through his stomach, thank you. It's funny how a meal can bring people together. Almost like fish and bread. See where I'm coming? So sometimes it's the small things. Just sitting with them, especially during their time of loss. Job. Honor the Lord. Honoring the Lord and others can build a bridge to help bring others into the kingdom and allowing them to serve the house. Let me hear you again. Serve the house. Serve the house. So four points on serving. Serving is a choice. Becoming a servant and putting someone else's well-being ahead of yours is a voluntary act. Servanthood cannot be forced or legislated. Serving is active. Serving is seen through our willingness and our actions. We can't talk about being a servant and expect that others will get the message. Serving is defined by what is seen. Amen. Amen. Are we walking in that? I think we are as a body of believers. We are walking in that. Serving shapes our character. Like a toddler, human nature is most clearly seen through actions. By becoming willing servants, we train ourselves towards godliness and away from being selfish. Serving builds humility and promotes us to a place of success. Proverbs says that God opposes the proud but gives what to the humble? Grace. Gives grace to the humble. When we are proud, self-absorbed, and resistant to change, it's hard to push through the progress. When we choose to serve, we take on the image of Christ, and God engages our world through our own lives. See, servants don't look for, they don't look to be recognized. Servants aren't looking for the pat on the back. Servants typically aren't going to get the pat on the back, but they see the larger picture, God's kingdom as the picture. Amen? Amen. Serving creates opportunities. We've heard Pastor Kurt talk about the different opportunities and Franklin going out and having those opportunities with people. If we're not able to serve, then how are we going to get those opportunities? It's not going to be as easy for us to just put down everything and focus unless we're in the Word, in prayer, and asking God to help us to become servants of His kingdom. Amen? Amen. Pastor Steve?
Well, folks, let's stand. We're so thankful for all the servants we do have here in this house, that many have served for years and years and years, and some of you are just recent servants. It's obvious that the Lord is challenging us that, you know, yes, you're doing a great job amongst yourselves, but what does serving out there look like? And we're just starting to get that idea. We're getting there. Okay, we're helping in various ways, and let's close in prayer. So Jesus, we thank you for your example. We thank you that you showed us.